The Final Edition Radio Hour is a work of satire intended for people who own books, gentrify neighborhoods, and say they like kale. Please consume responsibly. The satire, that is.
Hi, I'm Jeff Chrysler, and this is the Final Edition Radio Hour. This is our first show of 2015, and while we're excited for the big things to come this year, we're also a little bit taken aback. We tagline ourselves with the phrase, satire with teeth. Well, this week, somebody took a big bite out of satire to express his and our feelings about the events in Paris this week. I give you my co-executive producer and the founder of the Final Edition, Tony Hendra.
Yeah. I just want to say rest in peace, the entirely great and endlessly prolific provocateur, Georges Walensky, who was murdered by the cowardly human sewage who shot up our fellow satirists at Charlie Hebdo in Paris this week. Back in the glory days of the National Lampoon, I spent some time trying to incorporate the raw satiric energy of Paris, Harakiri, and Charlie Hebdo into the Lampoon, and I met Walensky several times, though I really couldn't tell you whether it was in New York or Paris. It was the 70s. A genial, jovial man, a proud phallocrate, well before the idiotic fascist phrase political correctness infected our language, and a genuine, hilarious satirist. I never did manage to recruit him, or Topor, or any of the other fabulous talent Paris had to offer in that genuinely revolutionary decade, to the Lampoon, although we did get to publish the excellent French Jules Pfeiffer, Claire Bretéchet. But I learnt from those guys that satire is not only universal, but also simple. Nothing fancy, or witty, or naughty, but acceptable, or suitable for work. It's an incessant, non-violent onslaught of ridicule against the very rich and powerful and their eternal apologists, the very pious, because they fucking deserve it. Because, as Balzac put it, behind every great fortune lies a great crime. This week, Walensky died a true hero and a true martyr for that cause, at the hands of cartoons of heroism and martyrdom, yelling cartoonish slogans for their cartoon god. In short, the late great cartoonist, Georges Walensky, one, hands down.
So please, everyone, continue to laugh at the rich, the powerful, and the pious whenever you can, for as long as you can. This is the Final Edition Radio Hour.
This is a public service announcement from the New York City Police Department. Each year, many Americans are hurt or killed because they criticize the police. Nationwide, young black men are 21 times more likely to be killed than young white men during police stops. Yet, despite this grave danger, people still risk publicly pointing out that young black men are 21 times more likely to be killed than young white men during police stops. This is just the kind of thing that gets young black men killed during police stops. If you are tempted to criticize police for stop-and-frisk policies, shooting unarmed civilians, and arrest quotas that many people say exist despite overwhelming evidence that they exist, please remember, most police officers are good at their jobs, but the New York City Police Union representative Pat Lynch is basically a child, and not a charming child. Pat is the kind of child who sets dogs on fire, then blames the retarded kid. So, when you're on the road, or at a protest rally, or just sitting around at home where you don't think anyone can hear you, please resist the urge to criticize police. Remember, one critical remark can change your life, and that's all it's going to change.
As you know, Islam forbids images of the Prophet Muhammad, mainly because he's plus-sized and is self-conscious about his ample buttocks. But nothing forbids us from broadcasting his voice. We take you now to the Prophet Muhammad at a press conference in Mecca. What's that? Oh, I'm sorry. At a press conference at a Dave and Buster's in Teaneck, New Jersey.
Prophet Muhammad, welcome.
Oh, my God. Thank you. I am so excited. Have you seen my shoes? Aren't they totes adorbs?
Prophet Muhammad, what is your opinion of the
recent... Hang on. I just want to give a shout out to the guys at Table 17. Hi. Thanks for the buffalo wings. Yay! They were awesome.
What is your opinion of the attack on the magazine Charlie Hebdo?
I told them not to run pictures of me. They totally got the hat wrong. And the mustache? God, my Twitter feed is like totally blowing up.
Maybe blowing up is the wrong word.
Jesus H. Christ!
Is that really Jesus?
Hi, Muhammad. What's all this Sturm und Drang here?
We just wanted to talk about the shooting at Charlie Hebdo.
I thought usually humor weeklies were killed by the internet. Mm-mm-hmm. No, I didn't.
Nuh-uh, too soon!
Wait, is that Moses?
Yes!
Moses, what do you think of the attack on the Parisian satirical magazine Charlie Hebdo?
They did what?
Make it work.
Paris, c'est une blonde.
Now it's time for Cinephiles, incisive commentary on significant movies. I'm Tony Hendra, writer and film buff.
And I'm Bruce Cherry. I loved it. Everyone's a winner.
Very well, let's get started. Our first film is Selma, director Ava DuVernay's incisive and gripping tale of Martin Luther King and the Selma to Montgomery marches that led to the Voting Rights Act of 1965. This is a soul-searing film that is both heartbreaking and inspirational.
I thought it was a festive holiday treat for kids of all ages.
The fact that this was one of the rare feature films to be directed by an African-American woman no doubt aided in the brilliant job it does of capturing with power and subtlety the essence of Dr. Martin Luther King.
Martin Luther King? That's the guy that has a street named after him. But you don't want to go to that neighborhood, unless you want Popeye's chicken.
We'll be back with looks at more great movies later in the show. For the Cinephiles, I'm Tony Henry.
I love Popeye's!
Cancer. It's America's most feared killer. But did you know that 1 in 3 cancers are due to lifestyle factors, including smoking, drinking, and obesity?
1 in 3? Wow, I didn't know that. That sure is a wake-up call.
Exactly. 1 in every 3 cases of cancer is your own fault. And you should really get on that. For the other 2, meh, you just had bad luck.
Bad luck?
That's right. 2 out of every 3 cancers are just bad luck. So the question is, are you feeling lucky?
Not really. I'm recently divorced. I lost my job at the tuna packing plant, and I have a paper cut on my tongue from licking this yogurt lid.
Then you should talk to your doctor about our range of Lux supplements, the new, absolutely unproven yet highly expensive FDA unregulated luck-boosting solutions.
A rabbit's foot, a horseshoe, a four-leaf clover, a black cat, a silver sixpence, the longer part of a pulled wishbone, a handful of salt to throw over your shoulder, or a double rainbow.
Science has proved that cancer is 2/3 absolutely random chance. So it makes sense to trust science 1/3 of the time and leave the other 2/3 up to the secret.
Oh, if it's good enough for Oprah.
Exactly. When living a healthy lifestyle and having no contributing genetic factors are still not enough to protect you from 2 in 3 cancers, talk to your doctor about Lux supplements.
Luck can go down as well as up. Side effects may include putting your wallet through the wash, dropping a baby while its parents are watching, missing the last flight to London for your daughter's wedding, mistaking parsley for cilantro, meeting Pierce Morgan in real life, your building de-rent controlling, and hiccups.
Just remember, a pair of lucky socks might be all that stands between you and death.
Death may include massive pain, followed by terrifying mental deterioration, accompanied by fear, trepidation, feelings of betrayal by life itself, then the dark, empty nihilism of eternity, or a rule-heavy paradise, a non-committal purgatory, some form of straight-up hell, or even reincarnation as a squirrel.
Do you want to be reincarnated as a squirrel?
Absolutely not.
Then talk to your doctor about Lux supplements, because when it comes to being randomly struck down with cancer, that's not a thing you just leave to chance.
And now, a special message to America from President Kim Jong-un.
Here are my picks for the 2015 Golden Globes. Best motion picture, musical or comedy, goes to The Interview. As you know, last year I became first dictator ever to hack into a movie made by hacks. As a third world rogue dictator, I had to prove myself to the world. I'm tired of hearing people say, Kim Jong-un, you couldn't reach the Sea of Japan with Dennis Rodman's dick. When I got to see it, I loved The Interview. The actor, Randall Park, who played me looked good. I was slim. I was handsome. Usually, the camera adds 10 pounds. Here, I lost 40 pounds and about 200,000 human rights violations. So, why is it that when I do to Sony the same thing the NSA does to all of you, I get blamed for ruining your Seth Rogen Christmas? Ah! Not only that, New Regency canceled Pyongyang, the new North Korea film starring Steve Carell. I love Steve Carell. Not only do I love the 40-year-old virgin, Foxcatcher, and Little Miss Sunshine, he's the only celebrity who's shorter than I am. Ah! To be fair, the interview was not just a collection of dick jokes. It was a collection of dick, shit, piss, tit, pussy, ass, fucking, and fart jokes. Your First Amendment has progressed from protecting political ideas to protecting millennials who wouldn't know a political idea if it bit them in their fat stoner ass. And your Hollywood film companies have become so cheap, sniveling, fearful, and dictatorial, they make me look like Dennis Rodman's taller brother. So stop saying I'm the worst thing that ever happened to you. Yes, I have a burgeoning nuclear capability, but I'm no Seth MacFarlane. And if you impose any more sanctions, let's just say you won't like what happens to the next Lego movie. Ah!
Final Edition asks the man on the street, what do you think of the terrorist attack on the satirical magazine in Paris?
You're saying somebody who's making money as a cartoonist?
How long before they come after us, the actual cartoon characters?
We will examine the facts, look at the clues, and before you know it, the case will be solved.
Fuck the Irish!
I think if we really wanted to show respect for the people behind this magazine, we should have bought it.
My message to the terrorists is, if you want to eat a dick, just eat a dick!
There must have been some very sad thought balloons.
If there's one thing I hate more than a terrorist attack, it's a terrorist attack with subtitles.
And now, some more of the Final Edition Radio Hour.
On New Year's Day 2015, Kanye West and Sir Paul McCartney released a joint recording. This got the almost immediate reactions from the millions of Kanye's fans. Paul who? Now his little song about the poor old knight getting just a little long in the tooth.
Oh Kanye, none of your fans have heard of yesterday. They haven't even heard of Say, Say, Say. How many fucking songs do I have to play? Suddenly, I'm not half the Paul I used to be. Your fans don't even know about Let It Be. Oh, the fool on the hill was smarter than your fans, you see. Why, I am unknown, I don't know. Maybe it's cause I'm 72. We said in the end the love you take is equal to the love you make, but it isn't true, Kanye West. I was supposed to be your much more famous guest. Now I'm nothing more than your Pete Best. Oh, nobody knows me back in the U.S., back in the U.S., back in the USSR. Listen to what the fans said. We can't work it out. I have to admit it's not getting better. It's not coming up. I can't buy love. I can't buy anything. Nobody sees me standing there. Here's another clue for you all. I was famous when Kanye was swimming around in his father's balls. Kanye, it's true. I've smoked bigger joints than you. But now I'm fading out just like
Hey, Jude. Na, 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 na. Oh, forget it.
Hello, everybody. Welcome again to another episode of Fun Times This Week, where we explore all things super fun. I'm your host, Lisa Bergen. This week, we're talking with Decker Dreyer, who is the representative of a brand new theme park opening in Orlando, Florida.
Hello, Lisa. Glad to be here.
Right back at you, Decker. Tell us the news about this park.
Oh, it's very exciting, Lisa. Well, as you know, Disney uses all the products they own, ESPN, ABC, Star Wars, to create Disney World. And Universal has Harry Potter and NBC to create Universal Studios.
You bet. I've lost my mind at both of them many times. Many times.
Well, now the CBS Corporation is getting into the act. This spring, CBS is opening CBS Network Land.
Wow, tell me about it.
Oh, there are crazy rides at this place. Crazy. For example, get this. You start your day with CBS Sunday Morning Ride.
Holy smokes, that sounds mellow.
You bet. You cascade gently through the weekly news, narrated by the soothing voice of Charles Osgood, while sitting next to Mo Rocca, waiting for him to say something hilarious.
Does he?
No! But you do end the ride with a tempered interview with Alan Alda and his love of oil painting.
Whoa!
That's not all. Wait till you get on the Big Bang Theory ride.
Oh, no, that must be hilarious!
In a way, on this ride you have coffee with an actual writer of the Big Bang Theory who lists all of the quirks that Dr. Sheldon Cooper has that were not used in the show!
Amazing! That sounds incredibly dull!
But after every quirk, he says, Bazinga!
Okay, I'm back.
And don't forget the elementary ride, where an actual nerd sits next to you and complains loudly that Sherlock on the BBC is so much better. And then there's the crown jewel of the CBS Network Park, CSI, the live show.
Oh my, Mike and Molly, do I get to solve a crime?
No! It's Will Peterson talking for an hour about how happy he is that he's not on CSI anymore, and what he eats for breakfast every morning.
Goodness, I can't wait!
And the 60 minutes ride will blow your mind.
Sounds awesome. What's your favorite part of the park?
That there isn't a ride for the talk.
That's fantastic. Hey, everyone. Join us next week when we meet the creators of a brand new attraction in Cambridge, Massachusetts, NPR, the roller coaster.
Welcome back to Cinephiles, incisive commentary on the movies. I'm Tony Hendra, writer and film buff.
And I'm Bruce Cherry. I get really excited.
Our next film features a complex emotional performance from Bradley Cooper.
I want to go first this time.
By all means, Bruce, please.
Our next movie is American Sniper, Hangover Part 4, starring the guy who plays Phil. In this movie, he can't get to the wedding until he shoots a bunch of people. But where are Stu, Doug, and Alan?
I felt that director Clint Eastwood's light touch enables Cooper to give a truly compelling performance that captures both the intensity and anguish of a truly nuanced character. Do not miss this film. We'll be back later with more from The Cinephile.
And where was the monkey? I kept waiting for the monkey!
Good evening, and welcome to I Don't Watch the News That Much. I'm Roy Dankwood. Joining me tonight in my roundup of this week's headlines is Glenn Popper, a guy I met the other day while I was getting my car washed. Glenn, welcome to the show.
Nice to be here. Thanks for the free soda.
Well, this week the Republicans took over Congress, and Mitch McConnell is now Senate Majority Leader. Did you hear about that?
Yeah. McConnell.
That means for the next 2 years, Mitch McConnell will be in charge of the Senate.
Right. He kind of looks like an old lady.
You're right. Good point. Now, McConnell took over from,
Yeah, I know who you mean.
And that other guy. He used to run the Senate before McConnell.
Yeah, but he's out because of the election when they lost the election.
Exactly. So, this week, the first order of business in the Senate was the Keystone Pipeline.
Yeah, they're going to vote on that, Glenn, and that will definitely have an effect on things.
Do you think President Obama will veto the Keystone Pipeline?
Well, you know, Glenn, Obama and the Republicans, they don't like each other. So that just makes it even worse.
That's true, Glenn. They don't. And it does. So while all of this is going on with the Keystone Pipeline, I'm sure you've noticed gas prices are very low right now.
Yeah, Glenn, I have noticed that, and it's really great.
But here's my question. Isn't the whole point of the Keystone Pipeline to get more oil?
Yeah, because it's going to carry the oil in a long,
pipe?
Yeah, it's like a pipe that's full of oil.
Right, exactly. So I guess my question is, if there's already more than enough oil, why do we need another pipe full of oil?
Well, Roy, the Keystone Pipeline doesn't have any oil in it yet. That comes after they vote on it. But see, Obama doesn't want the oil coming into that pipe, but the Republicans do. So Obama's going to try to keep the oil out of the pipe. Meanwhile, the Republicans are going to try to get that pipe filled up with oil. But yeah, right now gas prices are awesome.
Yes, they are, Glenn. But the Keystone Pipeline hasn't even been built yet.
Yeah, because there's no oil in it.
Well, President Obama is against even building the pipeline. The Republicans claim that it will create jobs, while Obama says it won't create jobs.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Who do you think will win?
That all depends on what happens.
I think you're right, Glenn.
Because one side is for it, and the other side is against it. And the two sides don't agree, which makes it even worse.
That's true, Glenn. They don't. And it does. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, Glenn and I are going to talk about whether the Federal Reserve Board is finally going to raise interest rates.
I heard about that.
Richard, my water just broke. Where is the Uber car?
I didn't book one, dear.
What?
They're charging those ridiculous surge prices again. I'm not paying $50 for a 10-minute ride to the hospital.
The baby is coming right now.
Here, lie down on this towel.
I can't believe this is happening.
Tell me about it. Who do those bastards think they are, charging such outrageous prices?
Are you still talking about Uber?
Breathe, honey, breathe. Yes, it's really bugging me.
Jesus, Richard. Don't blame them for the high prices. It's economics 101, you jackass. Ever heard of supply and demand?
Sure, but why do I have to break the bank just because I have no other means of transportation? Big push, sweetie, big push. It's like charging someone $20 for a gallon of milk because they don't have a cow of their own.
No, it's not. Your negative reaction to the notion of charging a higher price under conditions of scarcity is pure ignorance, motherfucker!
You're doing great.
Oh, my cervix! Supply and demand! Why can't you get that?
But it's unethical, it's dishonest, it's manipulative, it's... Oh, I can see the head.
Just shut up already! They're fully transparent with their prices!
Well, what if someone needed to get somewhere because of a real emergency?
This is a real emergency!
My point exactly! Because of them, we have to give birth on our living room floor! One more push, baby. You can do it!
You could have just called a cab, you shithead!
At this time of night, forget it! Hey, it's a boy.
What?
Uh-oh. He has no teeth. I'm suing Uber.
Welcome back to Cinephiles, thoughtful reviews of great movies. I'm Tony Hendra, writer and film buff.
And I'm Bruce Cherry. I tend to wax rhapsodic, and I don't know what that means.
Now we have to take a look at Dumb and Dumber 2. the Farrelly brothers' predictable follow-up to their 1994 hit. Misguided attempts to humanize the characters just bog down a plot that's already dead in the water. The few sight gags that hit aren't enough to justify this bloated mess.
Right off the bat, they misspelled two in the movie's title. Hello? Am I the only one that caught that? And what plot was there? It's just a couple of regular guys going about their lives. If I want to see a documentary, I'll go to some movie that's a documentary.
For the Cinephiles, I'm Tony Hendrick.
If you're calling a movie Dumb and Dumber, put in some dumb stuff.
Obamacare has been more successful than many people thought. The Final Edition asks the man on the street, what do you think?
Sure, Obama wants us to be healthy so we can just shoot cops.
I chose the blue plan because my foot is blue.
Yeah, you can go to the doctor all you want, but you're still gonna die. Thanks, Obama.
The plan I chose was Medical Center with Chad Everett.
Does this look like a penis to you?
My doc told me that I should walk 2 miles every day. 7 days later, I'm in Chicago.
You know, I'm so old, I was vaccinated with a phonograph needle, but it didn't affect, didn't affect, didn't affect.
I'm in bad health. Yesterday, I walked past the mortuary. There was a sign up on the gate with my picture on it. It said, coming attractions.
My doctor told me to take my clothes off, stick my tongue out, stand at the window. I said, why should I do that? He said, I'm mad at my neighbor.
I went to the doctor. The doctor says, bad news. You're going to have to stop masturbating. I said, why? He said, because I'm trying to examine you.
I went to my dentist. I said, my teeth are yellow. He said, wear a brown necktie.
The doctor gave me 6 months to live. I told him I couldn't pay him. He gave me another 6 months.
I told my doctor that it hurts every time I do this. He said, I have cancer.
I'm Tony Hendra. The Final Edition Radio Hour models itself in format and spirit after the National Lampoon Radio Hour, which was in its heyday exactly 40 years ago when I was editing the magazine. I thought it might be fun to revisit some of the material from the mid-70s and see how it holds up. So hang on to your hats for what we used to call at the Lampoon a trip down memory lane.
Good evening. My name is Roger DeSwans, and it is my pleasure to welcome our radio audience to tonight's classic of the contemporary drama, Waiting for Godot, by Samuel Beckett. Waiting for Godot, or En Entendant Godot, as it was first titled, for Beckett, an Irishman, wrote his play in French, is the most famous, and many would maintain, the finest play by the Nobel Prize-winning author of Kraft's Last Tape, Endgame, and Molloy Dies. But it is for Godot a work of soaring, searching genius, a bittersweet, ironic, compassionate celebration of the human spirit that Beckett will be remembered. In the next 2 hours, we shall experience, through the sometimes poignant and often amusing conversation between two almost Chaplinesque tramps, Vladimir, or Didi, and Estragon, or Gogo, the angst of modern, alienated man, the inability to communicate the despair of a world for which God is dead, the hell which is, as Sartre observes, les autres, and yet the aspiring, questing, unquenchable flame in the human heart, which is, after all, hope. The curtain rises on a stage bare, save for a stark and leafless tree, beneath which Didi is removing his shoes. Gogo enters and watches for a long while before speaking.
Nothing to be done.
I'm beginning to come round to that opinion. Let's go.
We can't.
Why not?
We're waiting for Godot.
Ah. Oh. Are you sure it was here by the tree? By this tree?
Are there others?
What do we do if he doesn't come?
He should be here. Ah, oh, here he comes.
Godot.
Godot.
Gogo.
Hi.
I saw him late.
It's all right.
Were you waiting long?
A while.
The damn bus never came. I waited and waited. Yeah. Wound up taking a cab. I didn't even think I had enough money.
I figured.
Oh, it's great to see you guys again. Hi. Oh.
How you doing?
Didi put on a little weight, huh?
Yeah, a little.
You're married now?
Yep.
How long? How long?
Almost a year now.
Almost a year.
Mm-hmm.
Almost a year. Hey, we better get going.
This is Roger DeSwans asking you to join us again next week for another classic of the contemporary theater on Front Row Center. Good night.
Hello,
Hello once again, this is George Flack, and today our guest is a well-known entrepreneur and land developer, Mr. Donald Corleone.
Hello.
Mr. Corleone, how are you? Nice to meet you.
Very good to see you, thank you.
You know, it's always been fascinating to me how a man of your stature and your build, as it were, could make so much money in such a short amount of time. It doesn't look to me like you've done much work in your day.
No, I didn't do too much work.
Mm-hmm. Well, how did you get started, Mr. Corleone?
Well, I wanted to be a senator, I wanted to be a governor, mm-hmm. something, but there wasn't enough time, Michael. There mm-hmm. wasn't enough time.
So you did you went to school, or you...
No.
Well, exactly how do you make money like that?
And I mean, scare people.
You scare people?
That's right. They give me their money.
That is a funny concept. That is. You are putting me on, of course.
No, it's true.
That's what you do?
That's right.
Could you give me an example
of... Sure, watch this. I'll do this.
Well, this is curious. I wish you could all see this. He has a quarter of an orange, and he's taking the peel off it. Now, what is he doing? He's inserting it in his mouth. And I turned his head away. I can't see him. That is frightening. You did look a little frightening.
Give me your money.
Oh, well, I can't imagine giving you my money for something like that.
Well, it'll scare you.
It might scare my son or grandson. But
doesn't scare you. Huh?
But that scares me. What is that real?
Yeah, that's right.
That's a real 38?
Uh-huh. Give me your money.
What do you mean, give me your money?
Give me your money.
Is this the way...
Give me your money.
I'm not going to give you my money. What are you talking about?
You're not going to give me your money?
Are you serious?
Reach dial a curse. Please stand by. All our lines are busy. As soon as one of our lines is free, you will be connected with today's curse. Thank you for waiting.
He or she is a slimy-sided, frog-mouthed, silt-eating slug with the brains of a turtle. He or she has a voice that could peel paint. And his or her looks present a constant threat to the continued functioning of cameras and clocks. In his or her lineage, females of the canine species predominate. He or she smells like a bus. Such, in fact, is the unpleasantness of his or her odor that in his or her presence, woodland and domestic animals give thought to the preparation of their wills. Of his or her physiognomy, it suffices to say that since it occupies a position on the front of his or her head, it must be a face. His or her taste is in his or her mouth, a location it shares with his or her foot. If fashion law is ever enforced, he or she faces a life sentence without hope of parole. He or she possesses the intellectual agility of a small soap dish. To sum up, he or she is a boring, selfish, stupid, ugly dolt. He or she is repulsive, revolting, repugnant, vile, base, crass, foul, oafish, and crude.
This has been today's curse, presented as a public service by the United Council of Cursers. Thank you for calling, you pathetic, cringing little milksop.
Oh, hello there. I'm Newton Ames, talking to you on behalf of the Monolithic Oil Corporation about today's energy situation. You know, if we all just sacrifice a little, we can pull together to beat the current problems of not enough energy. And Monolithic is doing its part by killing most of the birds that nest around our beautiful oil refineries. Birds eat up a lot of food. And as everyone knows, food takes energy to grow and prepare. So the fewer birds there are, the less energy will be wasted. Now, how can you help? Well, if there are any old folks around the house, just set them outside at night. This looks like a long, hard winter, and the fewer people there are, the less energy demand there'll be. Leaving the old folks outside is nothing new. The Eskimos do it all the time. And they know a thing or two about surviving in cold weather without much heat. You betcha. When you drive, don't take your foot off the gas for stop signs, red lights, little children, or anything. A smooth, steady driving technique is the most economical. The cost in human lives, suffering, and property damage will be more than offset by the savings in gasoline. Well, I hope these tips have helped you become more aware that the blame for today's energy situation is on your shoulders and your conscience, and not ours. Monolithic Oil Corporation, we want you to pay.
You know, a lot of people have been taking a long, hard look at our school system, and after taking that look, they're saying, no thanks. That's not for me or my child. Tonight we have a man who's offering an alternative, the head of the Lombardi Institute. This is Dr. Howard Bear Barnes. Dr. Barnes, welcome to Alternative Child.
Thank you, Lloyd. It's good to be here.
Could you tell us about your school and what it has to offer?
Certainly, Lloyd. We're located on 520 wooded acres outside Fond du Lac, Wisconsin. We have live-in accommodations for 7,000 boys and girls from ages 2 years to 5 years.
And you're dealing strictly with preschool children, is that correct?
That's correct. While being too young for elementary school, these children from ages 2 to 5 are not too young to begin physical development. Some people think that a child at 2 or 3 is too young for strenuous physical exercise. This is simply not true. I got 2 and 3-year-olds who can do 100-yard wind sprints all afternoon. I got 1 2-year-old that can do 5,000 sit-ups.
Well, that's incredible. So the children are actually in training?
All the time. They eat at a training table, and each day they receive instructions for 8 hours, and they practice for 8 hours in football, basketball, track, swimming, hockey, karate, kung fu, and Thai boxing. At the age of 4, each child must pass a survival test. In this test, we drop them by parachute over the Sierra Nevada mountains with nothing but a Swiss Army knife. They must make their way in the woods for 20 days and walk 100 miles to Reno, where we pick them up.
Well, that's a fine individual effort on the part of a 4-year-old. What do you find is the biggest problem with kids this age?
I'd say knee injuries. Knee injuries and shoulder separations. There's still a lot we don't know about knee injuries. All we can do is operate when possible. Otherwise, we just tape it up.
What about the drug problem, Bear?
Well, we don't issue pep pills or any kind of drugs to the children. We leave it up to their own discretion. We know that some of them use them, but we don't encourage it. We'll give them a painkiller now and then, but that's about all.
I see you brought along 2 of the children from the Institute.
Yes, this is Debbie Ferguson from Santa Clara, California. Debbie wants to be a dental hygienist, as Debbie puts it, to help people. Debbie is 4 years old, 2'7.5" tall, 120 pounds. She won a bronze medal in Munich, and last week she swam 200 miles upstream in the Columbia River.
Hi, Debbie.
This is Jimmy Dugan. Jimmy hails from Cottonmouth, Mississippi, and when he grows up, he wants to be a sharecropper, just like Dad. Jimmy is 3.5 years old. He stands 2'3", 185 pounds. He's got good speed. He does 109.3. Look at those calves, Lloyd. He's a good boy up front. He can go long. He's good deep. He'll get you inside, he'll get you outside, and he's tough on the option. He's a tough boy, likes to hit, and he's not afraid to get his uniform dirty. Jimmy's recovering from some hockey injuries. He took 105 stitches across his face, and he lost his left ear. He's a tough boy. He's a fierce competitor. He's got poise, confidence, and he wants to win. I think he's going to be one of the all-time greats. In spite of the injury, he's in top physical condition. If we might demonstrate this, Lloyd, I want you to haul off and punch Jimmy in the stomach just as hard as you can. Go on, just punch him.
Me? No, I couldn't do that. He's only a child.
Of course you can. He can take it really hard now. Come on, punch him.
Well, okay. Oh, did I hurt him? Is he all right?
He's not hurt. Come on, get up. Shake it off. Come on, crybaby, stand up. Lloyd, hit him again.
But he's crying.
Hit him again, I said. He can take it. Hit him.
Oh, all right.
He's dead. You've killed him.
But I...
Well, fans, there you have it. At 4:05 of the first period, Guy Gilbert guillotined for high sticking. Now let's take another look at it in slow motion.
Our
hidden cameras caught Mrs. Helen Grouse of Columbus, Ohio, in the act of shoplifting at an A&P store. We asked other shoppers if they'd be deterred from shoplifting if we punished Mrs. Grouse by killing her. Let's listen.
Excuse me, ma'am. Have you ever shoplifted?
Well, yes, I have.
Oh?
Yeah, on occasion I snitched a can of salmon or a jar of artichoke or something.
Well, let me ask you this.
What?
Here is a woman we just caught shoplifting.
Oh, boy.
Now, if we were to punish her by killing her right now, would that convince you not to shoplift?
I don't know. It's kind of an impulse sort of thing, and I really doubt if you'd kill her. I mean, I'd have to say I'd probably shoplift again.
I see. Well, watch this.
We are!
Now, what have we done?
Well, you just shot her in the head.
And would you say that she's dead?
Well, her whole head is blown off. Yeah, she's dead all right, yeah.
Now, let me ask you again. Do you think we've convinced you not to shoplift?
Well, I have to say I'd never shoplift again.
Why do you say that?
Well, you just proved to me that you'd kill someone if they shoplifted. I saw it with my own eyes.
You're not just saying that.
No, I'm really convinced.
You won't change your mind?
Nope, I'll never shoplift again.
At A&P, we won't stop trying till we make you say...
We are...
We've been cohabitating quite a while. But her affections have been alienated, and so she changed her domicile. Every day I feel depressed. All nocturnally, diurnally, I feel so depressed. I'm experiencing psychological reaction to environmental stress. You know that when your baby leaves you, you get feelings of inadequacy. Oh, yeah. Or when your baby terminates your relationship, gives rise to feelings of inadequacy. Uh-huh. I've been experiencing rejection and sexual insecurity. Oh yeah. Every day I feel depressed. Nocturnally and diurnally I feel so depressed. I'm experiencing psychological reaction to environmental stress. Oh yeah.
Tony Hendra. We'll be back after this.
Tony, we got to come up with a promo. Our listeners don't know enough about all the great stuff the Final Edition does. Even when we tell them, it's all this like blah, 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 dot, 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 www, URL crap. No one gets what that is on radio. They just tune it out.
Well, I have the perfect way to hold their attention while we give them the goods. When I was at the National Lampoon in the 70s, our most famous cover had a cute mutt with a .38 Magnum to its head, and the legend, buy this magazine or we'll shoot this dog.
Yeah, I remember that, but how does that help us? It was a visual image for a magazine.
Meet Freckles.
Freckles? Oh, there, good boy.
Yay!
What's the matter then?
Also, meet my .38 Magnum.
Jesus Christ, you have a gun? Don't wave that thing around here. Is that thing loaded?
Sure is. Hey, listeners to the Final Edition Radio Hour on Progressive Voices on TuneIn. If you don't stay tuned to this promo while Jeff gives you all the necessary info about our fabulous website and our fabulous YouTube channel and other fabulous stuff we do, I will shoot this dog.
Jesus, man, take the gun out of that defenseless animal's ear.
Give him a good, Jeff.
Oh, my God, poor Freckles. Okay, fine. Hey, listeners to the Final Edition Radio Hour, you want more of what we do, go to thefinaledition.com. Our radio airs on this network on Saturday, Sunday, and Monday at 8, as well as Wednesday at midnight. We've also got an album, we've got a Twitter feed, we've got a great YouTube channel, Facebook, everything you can want at thefinaledition.com.
Now, tell them to tap all that into their iPhones or leave themselves an audio memo.
No, I won't. I told them enough, Tony. I'm calling the SPCA.
Tell them, or the dog gets it. I'm cocking the gun right now.
Okay. listeners, please, write this down. TheFinalEdition.com. TheFinalEdition.com. Go there for everything you want from The Final Edition, or this crazy old British coot is going to plug old Freckles.
Okay, that wasn't so hard, was it? Come here, Freckles, you dumb old chum. Hey, get down! Get down! Get away from me! Get, you crazy cunt!
Good job, Freckles. Get him! Sick him! Oh, yeah, this is Jeff Kreiser for the Final Edition Radio Hour on Progressive Voices on TuneIn. 8 p.m. Saturday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Midnight on Wednesday.
No, Freckles, put that thing down. You don't have opposable thumbs. No.
Look out! There's more Final Edition Radio Hour!
Are you there, Allah? It's me, Mustafa. Can you believe it's hanging season already? The sun is shining, the air is thick, and all the homosexuals are in their matching outfits, awaiting their fate. It seems like only yesterday that my father took me to my first lynching. I was only a boy, but I remember all of the excitement, the cheering, the falafels. It was a father-son bonding moment that I'll never forget. And now that I'm a married man with 60 children of my own, I am determined to share that moment with my own legitimate son. Hey, legitimate son. Can I come in?
Sure.
What are you up to?
Just playing with little black girl. She's finally house trained.
Guess what I have for you?
A little black boy to play with little black girl?
No! Two front row tickets to the first homosexual hanging of the season!
Oh, that's okay.
What do you mean? Don't you want to go to your first hanging game with your old man?
Eh.
Oh, just think of the cheering and the falafel and this song. Take me out to the gallows. Take me out to the noose. I want to see me some cracked up necks.
Dad, it's just... I've already been to a hanging.
What? Who could have robbed me of this father-son experience?
Hello, father!
Illegitimate son!
Did you really think that you could just never take me to a hanging and get away with it?
Tickets aren't cheap, illegitimate son. I had to sell three of your sisters to buy these things.
I know, which is why I sold another three of your daughters to take legitimate brother.
You bastard! I thought I was running low on lovers.
Don't worry, Dad. You can always take little black girl.
To a hanging game? What girl likes sports? What did she say?
She says I do. Watching people get lynched reminds me of my home.
Hello, and welcome back to more movie commentary from The Cinephiles. I'm writer and film buff, Tony Hendra.
I'm Bruce Cherry. You can eat cake frosting straight from the can.
Our final film this week is The Interview, the James Franco and Seth Rogen comedy about a fictional assassination attempt on North Korea's Kim Jong-un. Sony initially refused to release it to theaters because of terrorist threats. While The Interview is by no means a great piece of filmmaking, I think it's important that films be allowed to tackle any subject matter without bowing to intimidation. I urge all true movie lovers to make a statement by seeing this film, which is available at select theaters or is easily accessed on YouTube.
I couldn't agree more. I went to YouTube right away and did this great thing with a talking dog. Well, it wasn't really talking, but it sure looked like it. He's all like, ooh. Could I have some bacon? The maple syrup-flavored bacon? Really, you couldn't tell it wasn't the dog's voice. I give it 10 stars.
We don't give stars, Bruce. We prefer to let our commentary speak for itself.
10 thumbs!
That's all for now for the Cinephiles. I'm Tony Hendra.
I like bacon. Give me some bacon.
For the final edition radio hour, Will Durst here with a few observations of last year. Usually, over the period of 12 months, you get an equal balance of your good days and your bad days. But holy moly, catfish. Seems like last year, the good days decided to hide behind the monkey bars and the teeter-totter hardly moved. What with that fat punk bad days grounded on his end of the board, throwing rocks at squirrels. 2014 was to years what Boko Haram is to tolerance. Donald Sterling and Martin Luther King keynote speakers. Rob Ford and all-you-can-eat buffets. Oh, wait, that does go together. Well, you catch my drift. And completely out of the blue, here they are, a list of resolutions that should be made by people for the sixth year of the second decade of the 21st century, but probably won't. The 114th Congress resolves to supersede the 113th Congress's successes by accomplishing even less, or as it's known in layman's language, absolutely nothing. Say it again. Barack Obama vows to never be further than an arm's length away from his veto pen. Stung by the specter of NFL violence, the CEO of Nike avers to never again associate with overpaid athletes and instead feature school teachers in all its ads. Then everybody laughs. Portugal aspires to be more like Greece. John Boehner pledges to find a foundation color that reads less pumpkin and more summer squash. Kim Kardashian makes a concerted effort to get back to the thing that she's really good at and equally determined to discover what it is besides showing off her butt. Republicans pledge to work out their differences with the hardline partisan hacks who refuse to compromise on their side of the aisle before yelling at Democrats. And versa versa. For the final edition radio hour, I, Will Durst, vow to be funnier this year.
Go placidly amid the noise and waste, and remember what comfort there may be in owning a piece thereof. Avoid quiet and passive persons unless you are in need of sleep. Rotate your tires. Speak glowingly of those greater than yourself, and heed well their advice, even though they be turkeys. Know what to kiss and when. Consider that two wrongs never make a right, but the three do. Wherever possible, put people on hold. Be comforted that in the face of all aridity and disillusionment, and despite the changing fortunes of time, there is always a big future in computer maintenance.
You are a fluke of the universe. You have no right to be here, whether you can hear it or not. The universe is laughing behind your back.
Remember the Pueblo. Strive at all times to bend, fold, spindle, and mutilate. Know yourself. If you need help, call the FBI. Exercise caution in your daily affairs, especially with those persons closest to you. That lemon on your left, for instance. Be assured that a walk through the ocean of most souls would scarcely get your feet wet. Fall not in love, therefore. It will stick to your face. Gracefully surrender the things of youth, birds, clean air, tuna, Taiwan, and let not the sands of time get in your lunch. Hire people with hooks. For a good time, call 606-4311. Ask for Ken. Take heart amid the deepening gloom that your dog is finally getting enough cheese.
The Final Edition Radio Hour is performed at one time or another by Bruce Cherry, Jen Dodd, Jim Earle, Rob Gordon, Tony Hendra, Jeff Hendrick, Dan Vitale, Kevin Janis, Jeff Chrysler, Barry Link, John Marshall, Ebby Parker, Rachel Rausch, Steve Rosenfield, Rob Miller, David Eskridge, Andrew Danish, Leslie Shapira, Ann Tuchel, and Darby Worley. The show is written at one time or another by Bruce Cherry, Jen Dodd, Jim Earle, Rob Gordon, Tony Hendra, Jeff Hendrick, Jeff Chrysler, David Eskridge, Barry Link, John Marshall, Ebby Parker, Leslie Shapira, Jeremy Rayburn, Kate Knowles, and Steve Rosenfield. The Final Edition is produced and directed by Tony Hendra and Jeff Chrysler. West Coast production by Barry Lank. Audio editing and production by Greg Russ and Andrew Hammond. The Final Edition Radio Hour is the property of the Final Edition, LLC. Copyright 2014.